The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Tuesday, everybody. Tuesday! Yeah, it means Gotta Laugh is here. I don't know about you, but I had a rough time falling asleep last night. And the reason is because of what I watched before I went to sleep. Because I've been trying to tune out from some of the news at night lately. Because, frankly, I'm not waiting for the world to fall apart. I'm not waiting for everything to just, you know, crash down on us. I'm not waiting for, the other Trump shoe to drop, as it were, because I think we're on the better side of life now that Trump is out of there. Although, you know, he keeps telling people he's not done yet, which kind of freaks me out a little bit. But anyway, so I tuned out. I was looking for something to paint, frankly, and I spend more time looking for a picture that I want to turn into a painting than actually painting someday. So that's what I was consumed with last night. And then I finally found a picture that I wanted to paint, and it was a cute little dog that maybe I'll share with you a little later. And then I got wind of, I turned on, I don't know if it was CNN or MSNBC or one of them, and heard a little bit of the of AOC's Instagram live broadcast, in which she told what happened at during the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. Now, I had a feeling something was up. I had a feeling that something pretty bad happened. And the reason I thought that is because, well, a few reasons, but mostly because, when that night, when many of her colleagues got up and spoke eloquently about the need to certify these votes and do it now, and talked about the events of the day, she was uncharacteristically, I thought, quiet. And even in the days following that, we didn't hear much from her. But I know that something had obviously happened, just because of the little things she said. And at one point she said, "I can't really say much more right now because of the security concerns." But she hinted that when the time was right, she would. And the time was right, apparently, last night. And AOC recorded what was about a 90-minute stream of consciousness explanation of what unfolded at the Capitol, not only on that Wednesday, the 6th of January, but the few days leading up to it, starting on Monday, when she said there were throngs of people descending on the Capitol that didn't necessarily belong there. And many of them were somewhat threatening, the way that they looked at her, the way that they taunted her, the way that they spoke to her. And she talked about how she tried to keep her sense of humor, tried to, you know, make it all lightness and fun, and show these people that she wasn't the monster that Fox Not News paints her as. And she told of a few kind of disturbing incidents and why she was a little 24 hours before the madness went, you know, overboard, how she knew then that things were going to get real. She explained how the Capitol Police, the head of the Capitol Police, told the leaders of Congress in response to requests about the security plans, told them that, because of security concerns, they weren't going to share their security plans with Congress, because they didn't want any possibility that their tactical plans would get out and get in the hands of the domestic terrorists. My word, not theirs. The fact of the matter is, it seems that there was no plan. I watched. First, I saw, you know, I went looking for it online because I didn't see it when it happened live. And what I found posted at a number of places was about a 10-minute clip of it. So I watched the 10 minutes and I'm like, okay, where's the rest of it? And I was so disturbed by what I heard in that 10 minutes it just consumed me. And that's when I started painting, and I found it on my phone. I found it on Instagram, and I'm not an Instagram user, and it's confusing to me. But I think what happened is it took a while because maybe the video was so long for it to process and then post itself. Because when I first went to look for it, it wasn't there. But a little later, it was. And I sat there and listened. I must have been up until 3 o'clock in the morning, listening to her account, watching her. Obviously, I can't play the whole thing here because we don't have an hour and a half. I did pull a couple of clips that are just devastating. Unfortunately, what Jeffrey in the YouTube chat room just said, the Capitol Police were on the side of the insurrectionists. It sure sounds that way. It really does. Let me share with you, one thing that she admitted early on, as she was kind of setting up the broadcast, setting up what she was going to tell, she told, she told a truth, I guess, one of her truths, a secret, that I don't know that it was an intentional secret, but something very personal that she hadn't shared with anyone else. This was just the first notion that we were in for a bit of a roller coaster ride watching this video. So here's AOC speaking on Instagram last night. Here we go.
If you are learning things about me in the course of this live that you didn't know before, and it's not, you know, a thing about hiding or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes you just can't tell the same story over and over.
Yeah, I get it.
So anyways, the reason I say this and the reason I'm getting emotional in this moment is because these folks who tell us to move on, that it's not a big deal, that we should forget what's happened, or even telling us to apologize, these are the same tactics of abusers. And I'm a survivor of sexual assault.
Oh, God.
And I haven't told many people that in my life. But when we go through trauma, trauma compounds on each other. And so whether you had a negligent or, you know, a neglectful parent, and or whether you had someone who was verbally abusive to you, whether you are a survivor of abuse, mm-hmm. Whether you experience any sort of trauma in your life, small to large, these episodes can compound on one another. There's no, you know, something really big happening to you and then...
Okay, so that was that one clip where she admitted, you know, she is a survivor of a sexual abuse, whether she was raped. I'm glad she didn't go into detail because, frankly, it's none of our business. But knowing that that's in the back of her head, that she has survived that, that's pretty disturbing. So she goes through, she talks about being in her office. Right. She's in her office. They were told to arrive at the Capitol really early that day by the police because they expected crowds and stuff, although they didn't have to be there till many hours later for a vote, an important vote. She got there, you know, early. They were supposed to get there at 9 o'clock. So she's telling how she's, you know, hours earlier than she would normally be there. But she's in her office. How during COVID, her staff, she lets everybody work from home. And the only time that they come in is on a day like that was when there was an important vote scheduled. And so she had one staffer, her legislative director, come in to staff her, to be there with her, you know, for the vote. But everybody else was out of the office. So she's there in the office with G, who is the name of her legislative director, when all of a sudden she hears pounding on the door, shouting, pounding in the hallway, and pounding, pounding. And she and G just go, oh, my God, let's run and hide. Well, I don't understand why, but they didn't hide together. He went, I guess, in his office, and she went in her office, and she told the story about how there's another room off of the main room of her office, and she ran back in there, and there was a bathroom and a closet, and she made the split-second decision to go in the bathroom and hide. And then she's thinking, oh, shoot, and she says shoot. I love that, because for me, I would say shit, because that's the way I speak. But obviously she says shoot. She goes, oh shoot, I should be hiding in the closet, not the bathroom. So she was going to go out and run across the room and get in the closet. I don't know. I'm thinking if they're looking for her, they're going to look in both rooms, but you know, whatever. This is the way her mind was working. And when you're under stress like that and you're scared out of your mind, your mind does, you know, plays tricks on you. So she was just about to run, and she hears the pounding get louder, and she hears a man's voice going, where is she? Where is she? And she's freaking out. Okay, so at this point, where the video picks up, and the audio, if you're just listening to the audio feed, she says she's hiding, she's standing behind the door. So say, you know, I'm here, and the door is to my left. So the door opens in, she's standing behind the door as it's open. So if a person walks in the room, they don't see who's standing behind the door. So this is where we pick up. And you see AOC standing against the wall, I guess in her apartment, talking about hiding behind the bathroom door.
Like, I'm here, and the bathroom door starts going like this. Like, the bathroom door is behind me, or rather in front of me, and I'm like this, and the door hinges right here. And I just hear, where is she? Where is she? And this was the moment where I thought everything was over.
Everything was over.
And the weird thing about moments like these is that you lose all sense of time. In retrospect, maybe it was 4 seconds. Maybe it was 5 seconds. Maybe it was 10 seconds. Maybe it was 1 second. I don't know. It felt like my brain was able to have so many thoughts in that moment, between these screams and these yells of, where is she? Where is she? And so I go down and I thought I was going to die.
Oh, God. Can't imagine. Can't imagine.
And I had a lot of thoughts. You have a lot of thoughts, I think, when you're in a situation like that. And like, also one of those thoughts that I had was, you know, I just happened to, you know, be a spiritual person and be raised in that context. And I really just felt like, you know, if this is the plan for me, then people will be able to take it from here.
Wow.
I had a lot of thoughts, but that was the thought that I had about you all. I felt that if this was the journey that my life was taking, that I felt that things were going to be okay.
Wow. She felt like things were going to be okay because you guys could pick up the ball and continue where she left off. These were the thoughts, you know, you hear when you're looking death in the face that your life flashes before your eyes. Well, she's talking about her mind going a million different places at once. I can imagine. The guy had opened the door to the bathroom. She was behind the door. And he's screaming, "Where is she?" Now, this is a woman who's gotten tons of death threats. They've been relentless since she got into office. She's now in her second term. She went on and it went on and on and on. And she talked about how finally her legislative director went out, I guess, heard that this guy was getting close to her, and he came out. And then all of a sudden he said, "It's okay, come out." And she's like, "Okay, he's telling me it's okay to come out." And she comes out, and it turns out the guy who was pounding on the doors, screaming, "Where is she? Where is she?" was a Capitol police officer. She said he looked at her with such vitriol and hatred and anger in his eyes that she honestly didn't know if he was there to help her or hurt her. And she thought, and then she said, "Well, maybe, you know, look, maybe I was just putting this all on myself. Maybe I was just imagining things." And afterwards, G and I talked, and he had the same impression. He didn't know if that Capitol police officer was there to help them or hurt them. And basically, it sounds like he wanted to hurt them. And he apparently they were evacuating the Cannon office building where her office was due to a bomb scare. And he just told her, "Go to this other building." Didn't tell her where in the building to go. Didn't escort her, even under this heightened pressure situation. Nothing. They just sent her. And then she talked about how she wound up going and winding up in Katie Porter's office. Katie Porter, who was just down the hall and had no idea anything was going on. They didn't warn anybody. There was no coordination between the police and the members of Congress. Here's a little bit. I should have edited this. Damn, it's really long. It's all right. I'm going to cue in a little bit. Katie Porter was on with Lawrence O'Donnell last night. Let me see where this takes us here.
"When they get into this office."
Okay, so that's... okay, so at the beginning, he plays a little bit of AOC talking about it.
"These screams and these yells of, 'Where is she? Where is she?'"
Okay, so this is still the...
"And so I go down and
All right, that's the Katie, that's AOC. Where's the Katie Porter part?
To me, she was opening up doors and I was like, 'Can I help you?'" Like,
she's talking about when AOC came in her office.
"And she said, 'I'm looking for where I'm going to hide.' And the thing that will always stay with me, the two memories that really, you know, especially as a mom, I think were just really powerful for me, was when she said, you know, I was saying, 'Well, don't worry, I'm a mom, I'm calm, I've got everything here we need, we could live for like a month in this office.' And she said, 'I just hope I get to be a mom. I hope I don't die today.
Oh my God.
And the second thing is she was wearing heels. And I remember her saying to me, I was wearing flats. And I remember her saying to me, 'I knew I shouldn't have worn heels. How am I going to run?' And we went and we found her a pair of sneakers to wear from one of my staffers so that she could run if she needed to literally run for her life."
How long did the fear of losing life hold in that room while you were waiting?
About 6 hours.
Six hours.
No communication about what to do. No one came to check on us. The Capitol Police never accounted for every member's safety. And so we heard voices in the hallway. We didn't know what they were, whether those were police officers, whether those were intruders. And so we stayed dark. We clicked the windows, the curtains. We turned our phones off. We silenced everything. And we just sat, as still and as quiet as we could be in the hope that they would just run on by.
Why was it your office? Is your office close to her office?
When they evacuated the Cannon office building, they did not provide anywhere or any direction for those members to go shelter. They told them that there was a bomb threat, that they needed to immediately evacuate their offices, but they didn't tell them where they could go to be safe. And so in addition to sheltering Alexandria, we also had a staffer, a friend of mine's chief, who had been thrown out of their office in Cannon and didn't know where they could go to be safe. And so we obviously let her come in too. We were willing to let anyone come hide there with us to keep them safe. But the lack of any safe place when they evacuated these people was really a problem.
That is shameful. So the Capitol Police, as AOC told us at the beginning of the video, would not share their safety plan for what was going to happen on the day of the 6th with the leaders of Congress because they were afraid of a security leak or something and the word would get out. There was no plan. That entire, and I know they got rid of the head of the Capitol Police and the sergeant of arms, sergeant at arms of the House and the Senate. They need to clean house and start from scratch again because these people are traitors. I'm going to play one more thing for you before I bring Laffy in, because this is disgusting. Now, I am not a fan of Glenn Greenwald's. I have, you know, I've mentioned it on the air, but I haven't made a big deal out of it because, you know, I'm sure Glenn Greenwald's not a fan of mine either. Who am I in the big picture? But I have called him out for being a jerk. And I think I tweeted something one day about not feeling guilty about reading The Intercept anymore after he announced he was out. Because while he was there, I'm sorry, I want nothing to do with this guy. I think he's a piece of shit. And to show you, here's a clip with him and his cohort, a guy named Jimmy Dore, who I've never met, who I used to think, oh, he's a progressive talker. I'm supposed to like this guy. And the few things I've heard out of his mouth are asinine. And this will show you why I feel that way. So just, I'm not even going to say anything. Just listen.
This week
this
has
is
been
Glenn
like
Greenwald.
The most amazing week of having the left and the right unite against Wall Street. Almost everybody across the spectrum supports what those Redditors are doing and is thrilled to see these hedge fund leeches suffering. And it has blown. It's created a major opportunity to
I'm with him
to
at this point.
Reform.
Okay. Yeah.
And Ted Cruz, whatever you think of him, reached out by saying, "I agree with AOC." About this. So that was an opportunity for right and left to join together.
No, it wasn't.
To do something that supposedly reason for existing as a political figure, which is fighting income inequality. And instead she goes, turns around and says, "Fuck you. I don't want to work with you. You guys got me murdered. You're a white supremacist."
Well,
and suddenly the two camps divide again. And over here you have the red team and over here you have the blue team cheering like morons at a fucking high school football game again, because she ruined that movement because all she wants to do is attack Republicans and fortify the Democratic Party. That is what the left has become, and they know it.
Oh my
and that's
God.
Why all that's left for them to do is do things like talk about your personality and occasionally mine.
It is stunning to see AOC turn into Adam Schiff.
Oh my.
It is stunning to me to see her just totally focus all her ire. And it started for me.
Disturbing,
okay.
Breaking.
So then they, the first time, then they start playing. I don't know who posted that, but really? Really? Oh, my God. I've got one thing to say to Glenn Greenwald and Jimmy Dore.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. All right, now time for some fun.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to laugh after that, but we shall try. And we bring in our pal, Gotta Laugh, because, you know, it's the alternative. but first, we got to get Laffy on the line. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the Republicans Are Insane hotline.
Yeah, they are. Okay.
Press 1 if you think Marjorie Jewish Space Laser Green should now be called Marjorie Batshit Obscene.
That works.
Press 2 if you think Representative Kevin McCarthy should now be called former Representative Kevin McCarthy.
Please. Yes.
Please. Press 3 if you think Trump's doctor said he should be called if Donald's insurrection lasts longer than 4 hours.
Somebody else.
Ending.
Yeah, somebody else you said he incited an erection. One other, I think a member of the House. It went by me. It was like a Hakeem Jeffries or somebody like that. Yeah. I wonder what they have on their mind.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, God, these people are insane. And I had the same thing, the same problem you did. We talked about this last night. I was up half the night, and all I could think about was AOC and what hell she and Porter were going through. You know,
it's just horrific. It just
it's beyond imagination. Can you even? I mean, being against the door.
Yeah.
Hoping no one sees you behind
the door. Oh, my God. And standing behind the door knowing he's on the other side screaming, where is she?
Exactly.
I'd have my life flash before my eyes as well.
I'd be like peeing.
Yeah. Right? Good thing she's in the bathroom. The whole thing is just insane. And I could not stop thinking about her. So because I said I would show it. Hold on. I just got to add... audio.
I also just happen to adore AOC.
She's great. And every time I hear her speak, and I was wondering why she had been so quiet, and now we know.
I did too. It's funny you said that. I had the same thought.
Yeah.
That's weird. You know, she was right there.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yep. So anyway, here is, for those who are interested, if you're watching on video, I just lost my, my photo. All right, here's the picture of the doggy that I painted last night when I couldn't sleep. I call him Mushy Face. I'll post Mushy Face on the blog at NicoleSandler.com/2-2-21. Today's date. That'll be it'll be posted there. And then I will also post the full full Instagram video, because I really I encourage people to watch the whole thing, because she lays it all out there in an hour and I think 32 minutes or thereabouts. And I think it's important we listen to what she says. She should be a witness at the impeachment trial.
She sure should.
Now, she's not a senator. She's not on the jury. She already voted to impeach him, and the House did impeach him. But that story needs to be heard, needs to be told, needs to be read into the congressional record. People need to know what went on. And not only her, they need to know everything that happened that day. And this cop, I want to know if she got his badge number, and I'm sure her mind was going a million miles a minute. I want to know if there was any identifying badge or anything on him where she can, they can question this guy.
I want to know what happened to the panic buttons.
Well, the panic buttons were not in every office. Ayanna Pressley said that the panic buttons in her office were ripped out. Well, they were installed at her request because of the threats she had gotten. Again, I would like to know how they got ripped out as well. That's another story. I don't know that AOC ever had panic buttons.
No, I was totally in a separate track there. I was thinking of the ones that were ripped out of the wall. We heard about them, and no one has said a word in a week about anything.
Nothing.
About those.
And the Republicans, they're all screaming that you need to move on. Well, what she said about, sexual assault. Yeah. No, you do not need to move on. And it sounds like these are the abusers who are saying, get over it. Get over it. We almost overthrew your government. We almost killed your members of Congress. But get over it. Nothing happened.
Unity, unity.
Yeah, unity, my ass.
They were abused. We've all been abused for 4 years. But they were intensely abused. If you could sort of jam it all into just that day. And collapse it into a little hot, you know what I mean? Like a planet that's imploding on itself. That's how abused they were compared to how, we've all been abused for 4 years and we're trying to get over that now. They were just going through utter hell, and nobody, like Katie Porter and AOC said, nobody told them what to do.
Nobody told them anything. Even after all was clear, you heard Katie Porter say, we were in my office sheltering in place for 6 hours because nobody told us anything.
Can you imagine? I mean, just 5 minutes is a long time.
Horrible.
When you're waiting for
6 hours?
Right?
No.
When you're sitting in a doctor's waiting room for 20 minutes, it feels like an eternity.
Uh-huh.
When you're waiting for a bus or something for an hour, it feels endless. If you're sitting or hiding in an office, knowing what's, at least partially knowing what's going on outside, and have the lights off,
yeah,
and have your phone off,
yep,
and you have no communication,
and you're being
with anybody,
quiet
and
nothing,
hours,
and you're waiting, thinking
my
that
God,
these murderous insurrectionists are, yeah, are all over the Capitol because that's the last you knew?
Right.
There's no excuse for this. None,
no,
whatsoever.
No. And I really, I know that they're going through as much as, you know, like the cops are going through, or the FBI is going through what they have to do. And, you know, we're doing now, we're going to be doing impeachment and stuff. But I really, really hope that there are long hearings and everyone is called under oath, and that there are, you know, prosecutions outside of Congress, and that there are investigations outside of Congress other than the FBI. I'm talking into Congress members and the police. I mean, I don't even know. I hope everything is investigated by everyone, and that we find answers, and that people like AOC are given the answer so they can at least have that little moment,
yes,
of peace.
Yes. And the thing is, you know, I don't get the Republicans who are also, you know, lax about this. First of all, these are the Blue Lives Matter people,
right,
and they beat a cop to death. The one cop who died on the scene was beaten to death with,
right,
with a flagpole and whatever else they could find. The woman who died on the scene, not the one who was shot by the police as she was trying to go through the glass into, I think, the House chamber. No, the other woman was trampled to death, even, mm-hmm, though her friend was saying, she's dying, you're killing her. They trampled this woman to death. Do these Republicans really think that they would have stopped and said, oh, you're in the House? Are you a congressman or a senator? Are you Republican or Democrat? They wouldn't have cared. Everybody would have been dead except for Donald Trump, because that's the only person they worship, apparently.
I mean, you'd think that they would worry about the vice president.
No, they wanted to kill him. They were saying hang Pence.
I'm talking about their fellow Congress members.
You would think.
I know that, you know, he gave away the store when he wouldn't change votes or whatever he was supposed to do.
Yep.
But you would think that even the people in Congress who were nutcases would have worried.
Would have
about.
Cared. No, they. Apparently not.
Apparently not.
And apparently they don't care about their own safety because they're not concerned over this?
That's what I don't understand. I'm not even going to try to understand it, because they have no rational thoughts. They are gut level. I don't have words for them.
A fire extinguisher, actually, Sicknick, the cop who was killed, Diane Russell in the chat room is saying a fire extinguisher. He was hit.
Yes,
repeatedly,
right,
with a fire extinguisher.
Oh, sickening.
Sickening.
And I'm lying, trying to fall asleep last night at whatever time it was in the middle of the night, I kept thinking of my neighbors. I have a neighbor down the block on one side, and or like a couple blocks away, and a neighbor around the corner on the other side of me. And they fly the blue line flags.
God.
They have Trump banners in their front yards. They have protect your local, whatever, protect your police or blue lives matter signs in front of their homes, along with those other banners. And then they have some of them. One of them has a the Gadsden flag.
Oh God!
Excuse
That's
me.
That's the don't tread on me flag. Yeah.
Oh. The don't tread on me. Right. And so I'm sitting there in the middle of the night thinking, hey, you know, I wonder if they were in D.C.
Yeah.
I wonder if these people were, should I be, you know, like I finally saw one of them in his front yard. I'd never seen one. Neither of them ever seemed to be out in front of their houses.
Yeah, because they're vampires.
The other, huh?
Sorry. Because they're vampires.
They're vampires. And one of them was out polishing up a new Porsche.
Oh, God.
I think I said this. Did I say this on the air?
No.
I guess I tweeted it. And I was shocked. He's an older guy. Not older, but, you know, I'd say 50s, maybe.
Okay.
60s, maybe. I mean,
okay.
In other words, not a young guy.
Right.
And not like young, like 30s. And he was polishing a new Porsche SUV. which shocked me, by the way. Even though we're in a nice neighborhood, I was like, well, he's this Trump guy, and he's showing off his new Porsche in his front yard. And I thought, wow, I'm finally seeing his face. And he looked like all the guys who were in that, in the insurrection.
Yeah, right.
So I wonder, did he go?
Don't know. It's very possible, I guess. And now you have Ginny Thomas, Clarence Thomas's wife, apologized.
Yes, I
to
have
the,
a tweet for that.
Okay, you know what? Yeah. Let's go to tweets, because otherwise I'm going to start giving out stuff that you have already. All right. Well, let's let loose the birdies and watch
the
your
boys.
Head, because they are shitting everywhere today.
Welcome to my tweet.
Okay, so what are the Twitters all tweeted or Twittering about today?
All kinds of goodies. Okay, so we'll start with Howie Klein, because he's our...
Howie. Howie will be here Thursday. He's our every Thursday guest, yes?
That's right. He said, so pathetic to be a centrist. Tim Kaine on censure resolution.
God.
Okay, Tim Kaine on censure resolution. This is our pathetic little centrist here.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, we don't have enough support on the GOP side because they don't want to bar Trump from running from office. And I don't have enough support on the Dem side because for most of my colleagues, it's impeachment or nothing. What's a guy to do?
Hey,
what is a guy to do?
I know what this guy can do. Yeah, that's what Tim Kaine can
exactly
do.
Exactly what he could do.
Yeah.
Speaking of impeachment.
Yes.
So I'm sure a lot of the listeners have already heard this, but in the Trump side of the impeachment argument that they presented today.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this morning, first thing, the impeachment managers in the House put forth their filing, their case of however many pages it was, and again, charging him with incitement of insurrection. And the Trump lawyers had until the end of the day today to file their response, and they did. It was something like, I don't know, 13 pages or something. And on the very first page, and the very first
thing, it says, the Honorable, the members of the United States Senate.
U-N-I-T-E-S. Gee, the S is right next to the D on the keyboard, and nobody even checked for a fucking typo on United States.
So Phil Bump of the Washington Post says, nailed it. I mean, it's so typical.
Yeah.
I have a tweet that came to me from Hegemon. Oh gosh, where is it? It was so funny. I retweeted it.
Yeah, no, I saw it too.
Making fun of it. Oh, I can't find it. Darn, darn, darn. I would love to.
All right. I'll see if I can find it while you're talking.
Okay, it's just a one-liner that it made fun of that. Anywho, okay, so that was that one. So Jim Acosta tweeted, Trump impeachment response has been released.
Here it is. Rising Hegemon said, unites we stand, devices we fall.
There it is.
There you go.
Thank you. Okay, so the impeachment argues that the Constitution, quote, this is the Trump side.
Yeah.
The Constitution, quote, requires that a person actually hold office to be impeached, and that Trump was exercising his First Amendment right to question the election results. And I said, wait. Trump's lawyers seriously don't know the difference between impeachment and trial, because he was in office when he was impeached.
That's true. Very true. And he was impeached.
And this was in writing in their presentation. Page one or page two, I can't remember which one, they actually said that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's stupidity. These guys are not, these are not Kraken lawyers. These are.
these are lawyers on crack. No, did you hear that the reason that the other lawyers left, it wasn't a fight over the strategy that they were going to use to defend him, as we were told, because he wanted to claim he won the election and they weren't going to go there. They were going to, you know,
pay them?
He wouldn't pay them.
I said, I figured. Yeah.
Because
I said that before I even knew that. I was just kidding though.
It was a fight over money, because one of the lawyers said, this is going to be like, you know, $1 million. And Donald Trump basically did what Donald Trump does and said, yeah, I'm not going to pay you. And they said, What did they say? They said,
who's the Kraken?
They said, fuck you, fuck you very, very much. Yeah, that's what they said. Yeah.
Now that's good that they said that.
Yeah, they did.
I wonder if these new guys are going to get paid.
I don't know, but I guess not $1 million.
Heck no. Daniel Dale tweeted, also from the Trump anti-impeachment submission, quote, it is denied Trump made any effort to subvert the certification of the results of the 2020 presidential election.
Wait, what? Who said this?
Trump's lawyers.
Uh-huh.
It is denied President Trump. I'm sorry, I had to use those words in order.
I know. I hate that.
It is denied that he made any effort to subvert the certification of the results. And I said, Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger on line one, how many recorded calls do they need?
Wow, lying is just second nature to these people. You know, it's like that Marjorie Taylor Greene woman apparently called the mom of one of the teachers who was killed in Parkland to tell her that she really doesn't think that the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas was a hoax. And the mom said, well, go on television and admit it. And she said, no, I won't do that. Because lie like it's second nature to them. They lie like it's their skin.
Meanwhile, somebody tweeted our show.
Cool.
Looking for what she, like oh, that. Here, Marjorie Taylor Greene, this just broke while you were talking earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Despicable, I call her despicable Margie Q. Green.
Yeah.
Mocked Parkland survivor in unearthed video. Quote, an idiot who's trained like a dog. He only talks when he's scripted, she said of David Hogg in a 2019 interview with a Georgia gun group.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to leave this up to you. First of all, the person who tweeted the show tagged the Jimmy Dore show. So it's one of those people. And now somebody's calling in, and I have a feeling it is a Jimmy Dore person. Is that what you're calling about? I'm looking at the person. Is that what you're calling about? Yeah?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember me?
No.
I'm the one who...
You're who?
I'm Vivian Marlborough.
You're the kid in San Diego? All right. I don't want to talk to you today. Thanks. Bye. All right. This is the kid in San Diego who's a Republican who...
I kind of remember him.
Yeah. He's a kid in San Diego. I'm not going to talk to him.
All right. We'll move on.
Okay. Let's move on.
Moving on with the impeachment. In the impeachment, there's a quote. It is denied that Trump threatened Secretary Raffensperger. It is denied that Trump acted improperly in that telephone call in any way. And Andrew Feinberg said, it wouldn't be a Trump impeachment without a perfect phone call. And I said, it's also denied that Team Trump has come up with a single successful or honest argument.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just denying stuff that's been recorded.
Yeah.
We can listen to it.
Because they lie like it's skin. Because it's part of them.
Or something.
Yeah. Or something.
Something. Oh, dear. So Christopher Titus, the comedian.
Yes.
He said, why pay for lawyers when you've already paid for senators?
Hello.
That is such a good one-liner.
Yeah.
Okay, now, totally off that topic.
Okay.
We're on to a whole new thing now. I'm so annoyed with this. Igor Bobik at HuffPost said Merrick Garland still can't get a Senate hearing.
And this time it's Miss Lindsey who is putting the block on him.
Exactly. And I want to know, what's his name? Chuck Schumer was on with Rachel a couple of nights ago. And he said, yes, we're going to do stuff. We're going to get ourselves, into position so we can put our committee members and our committee heads in and all this. And that was supposed to be done already. And it hasn't been done yet. Why? Why hasn't it been
good
done?
Good question. Really good question. What are they waiting for? And there's no reason in the world that Lindsey Graham should still be chairing the Senate Judiciary Committee. I'm sorry. That should be, by my calculations, I think Dick Durbin. Because it would have been, what's her name? Feinstein, I think. But I think it's Dick Durbin.
I think it is.
Lindsey Graham has no standing there.
None. And he also said Graham's letter includes this line. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I missed. Wait, Graham. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one. Graham, same Igor Bobik. Graham tells Durbin to pound sand, won't allow Garland a hearing on February 8th, citing the need for a two-day hearing. Impeachment trial starts on the 9th. Graham's letter includes this line: the committee last considered Judge Garland 24 years ago, or something like that.
Wow.
I don't know what this is about. And then I just, there was a tweet that went by that I did retweet, but I didn't save, that is saying that it's Mitch McConnell who's holding the works up, but I thought he had caved on
well,
this already.
Yes, and who knows what I don't know. I'll tell you, Friday, David Dayen just confirmed. David Dayen will be here on Friday to wrap up the week and tell us what happened, what didn't happen, who got committee assignments, because the Senate is now putting their committees together. And in fact, Dayen, reason I reached out to him was because he's been tweeting about
who's
on what committees. And I'm thinking, okay, so maybe it's happening now. No, still hasn't happened. You said, Laffy, that McTurtle had already changed his name on his Twitter account to...
Yes, he did. It says Leader McConnell now.
Leader McConnell instead of Senate Majority Leader.
Right.
And Chucky
Chuck
Schmucky is
Senator
still...
Schumer.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't know. I know there's something that was held up because something that Mitch McConnell did, something it said he took responsibility or he is responsible for this or whatever. Sorry I didn't keep it, but anyway, we can move on to the next thing, but it's so frustrating.
It is so frustrating.
Speaking of Ginny Thomas, here we go.
Okay.
So Robert Barnes of the Supreme Court for the Washington, Supreme Court covering for the Washington Post. He does Supreme Court reporting. Ginny Thomas, this is his words. Ginny Thomas apologizes to husband Supreme Court clerks for her role in discord after the election. And then Southpaw said the apology was not for lying about the election or supporting an effort to overthrow democracy, but for involving the email group of Justice Thomas's former clerks. And then Nicholas Blake says, it seems like the apology is just to the subset of listserv members that don't agree with her efforts, which Ginny Thomas speculates is a minority of the list.
Okay.
So she apologized to a couple of people.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. Clarence Thomas should be recused from any case dealing with anything. I'm sorry.
Anything.
When his spouse is so political and it makes her she financed buses to the first thing they did, whatever. I'm losing track. No, I think she financed buses to the January 6th
party
thing. That's right.
Big Tea Party activist.
Yep.
I used to write about her back in 2009, 2010 a lot. I wrote about her a lot. And she was despicable back then. She was a big loudmouth, and she was out there with her little hats, and she was leading these people.
Yep.
And now what she's done is she's expanded her own role, and she's now in with these Q crazies. And
I have Pam Keith, who was has been a candidate down here in Florida for a number of offices, and she responded to that tweet that you read from Robert Barnes that says Ginny Thomas apologizes to husband Supreme Court clerks for her role in discord after the election. Pam Keith wrote, "Oh, really? How about apologizing to AOC, Speaker Pelosi, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Presley? You know, the people, the seditionist mob you funded and incited were on the prowl to assassinate you, mindless wretch."
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, she and I follow each other.
Yeah.
I was real happy that didn't she win the election? She won the election.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I thought she did. No.
I
remember saying something.
No, she was the Democratic nominee for the 18th congressional district, and I'm guessing she lost.
Oh, I don't know why I thought she won. Maybe the primary.
Yeah, she won the primary.
Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Guessing she lost the general because we didn't do so well in the House races last year.
That's upsetting.
Yes, it is.
David Roberts said, the basic scam in U.S. politics is that Republicans are allowed to, A, make, quote, bipartisanship, a measure of Democrats, but never their own, success, and B, deny Dems any bipartisanship. They're allowed to set a bar that they can single-handedly prevent Dems from clearing. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what they do, and we don't. And then he goes, and they get away with it because of outlets like Politico.
Yeah, they do get away with it. And here's the thing. Again, you know, they're so insistent on where's the bipartisanship? Where's the whatever they want to call it? When did Donald Trump ever, once in the entire 4 years he occupied the White House, when did he ever once make an overture to Democrats to come and work with him? Ever.
Why is it always that the Democrats are the ones that the media want to reach out? Why? Oh, is this Biden's unity? Is this what? Where's right. Biden's bipartisanship?
Because where are the adults in the room? But I'm sorry, when you're arguing with a child, a petulant child who doesn't understand boundaries, you have to stoop down to their level because that's the only thing they understand.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just play some hardball. So, yeah. But they did do agree on reconciliation.
Yep. By the way, Ari Berman tweeted this out a few hours ago. Here's unity Republicans have shown Dems and Biden. Blocking Democrats from taking over Senate to preserve the filibuster. Admitting they'll gerrymander to take back the House in 2022. Introducing a wave of new laws to make it harder to vote, which they are, and opposing COVID relief when 440,000 people have already died. There's the Republican unity for you. It's a two-way street.
My ass.
Yep.
I don't. They don't care that people die. It doesn't matter if it's at the Capitol. It doesn't matter if it's in hospitals. It doesn't matter if they're starving in their houses. It doesn't matter if they're on the streets under a park bench somewhere trying to avoid the snow. It doesn't matter. They don't care about people dying. They care about their own power, their own money, their own donors. Mm-hmm. That is about all they care about.
Yeah.
They don't care about you. Trump never cared about you.
Nope.
People.
Nope. Nope.
You guys?
It goes back to the old George Carlin thing. And I pulled it, actually, to play yesterday. They don't care about you. They don't give a fuck about you. Sorry. Yeah. But that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is true. He did. I remember.
Yeah.
David Waldman.
Yes.
You know
Kegro X.
Yeah. He's quoting over a phone. Speaking of Politico, Politico tweeted, top House Democrats are moving to force Representative Margie Q. Green nutcase off of, they didn't say nutcase or anything, off of multiple committees this week with or without Kevin McCarthy's help. So David said, if they're willing to force it with or without McCarthy's help, then they might as well have blocked putting her on the committees in the first place last week. They let her slip into place with unanimous consent.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
He went on to say, I know this is supposed to be a longer term play that gets drawn out for political effect, but why are we never proactive in actually grabbing what we want? What's wrong with that as a political play if that's what you're after?
Yeah.
He's right. I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. But we did at least make a move to get that bill passed today.
Okay. Good to know.
And Manchin went along with it.
Okay. Lovely.
It was a 50 to 49.
Oh no, he did something good. Manchin did the right thing somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good to know. That means Kyrsten Sinema did as well. Ooh, maybe someone's whipping them in shape. She here likes that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. moving right along.
I only have two more tweets, and I would love after that tell everybody the Al Franken story.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not really Al Franken, but yes, right. I can do that.
Pretend Al Franken story. Okay. Dana Houle, or Howell. I don't know how she pronounces her name. And I guess I don't care. She said, Republicans are more aggrieved by Nancy Pelosi ripping up some papers than they are at one of their members advocating assassinating the speaker.
Yeah, right. Because they were so outraged by that. But, you know, killing some people. Well, that's no big deal.
That's fine.
But she tore up a speech. Oh, my God.
That's terrible. And they made a GIF about it. Oh, my God. So people could see it over and over again. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Impeach. Get rid of her. What kind of representative is she?
Really?
Anyway.
Really?
All right. So Ben Collins. Ben Collins is a reporter for NBC News, and he reports on the underbelly of the internet. He goes into the dark net, and he watches the Q people, and he watches all the creeps that we don't even know about.
Cool.
People I don't even know their names, but he knows every group, everything.
Uh-huh.
He's real good at his job.
Good.
Yes, and that's all I'm going to say. No, so then I've got tweets for him. He said, two tweets. He said, for those of you wondering, how do the QAnon people reconcile Trump's impeachment lawyer working with Jeffrey Epstein? The answer is they don't. They don't come across actual information and wouldn't accept it if they did. They're busy debating if Soros did the Myanmar coup. You're not going to catch QAnon people in logical inconsistencies because they will just deny reality.
Right.
This is how cults work. They create an impermeable bubble where information that feels bad is deemed an assault, and therefore it's not allowed or even considered.
Right. Yeah.
He knows the psychology of these people like nobody's beeswax.
Yep. That is true. That is
good.
True. Yeah.
Tell the Al story.
Okay. So it's not really Al. So last night, while I'm not sleeping, I get a notification that Al Franken followed me on Twitter. And I'm thinking, that's weird, because I thought Al Franken already followed me on Twitter. And he did. He does. And so this is an account called Al Franken Fans. And it's at Al Franken 1, except the L is not an L, as I later learned. It's a capital I. So it looks like the lowercase L.
Right.
Anyway, so it's going through, and so I followed it back just to see what it was, because I thought maybe it was his podcast, because that's where the link went to, and all the tweets were about promoting his podcast. So So he DM'd me after I followed him, and he said, "Thank you so much for being a fan," or some nonsense like this. Hold on, I'm going to bring it up. He said, "Hello, thanks for the likes on my page and all the support shown as a special fan of mine." And I wrote back, "Is this really Al?" And he said, "This is my private account. Are you a fan of mine or do you know me in person?" And I said, "I'm a radio host, was on Air America for its last year. We met at Netroots Nation once. I'd love to have you on my show." And he wrote back, "Thanks for all the love and support. It's because of my fans I'm here today. I love you for that." And I said,
"That's so Al."
Oh, yeah. So Al. Right. I said, "Well, if it's you, you'll do my show." And he writes back, "It depends on my schedules. When is your show?" And then he said, "To prove to you that am me." And he sends a picture. It's a photograph of Al Franken holding a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, it says, "Nicole Sandler, number one fan." And it's written in one of those like handwriting fonts. And he said, "Make sure you keep this photo private." And I wrote back, "Really? I have Photoshop too. Proves nothing." And then he writes back, "I like the fact that you're being diligent." And then he says, "Well, if you don't believe it's really me, then there's no point chatting with me. Stay safe. Goodbye." And then I wrote back one more time. I said, "Al Franken has a personal Twitter account, at Al Franken, who follows me. I just sent a DM there. If this is you, respond to that." he didn't respond, and I did report him because this is somebody impersonating Al Franken, claiming to be Al Franken, and it's not Al Franken.
Right. And wasn't there one sentence he wrote that he left out a whole word?
Yeah, that was here to prove to you that am me, the picture.
Yes.
And I didn't pull the picture, so I can't show. But it's just, it's a publicity shot of Al Franken. He's holding a piece of paper. It's, you know, and he photoshopped on the piece of paper, Nicole Sandler, number one fan.
And it's like, it's like in printing that, you know, Al Franken would never print
right,
that way.
Right, you know, it's a computer handwriting. Yeah. It's like an architect font.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was that just cracked me up so much. I mean, I was telling you that I had Judd Apatow, who also we follow each other,
uh-huh.
and an account similar to this, like where it was one of his recent movies, and they claimed to be that movie account, and they started DMing me, and I started asking them questions, sort of like what you did, and then I notified Judd, and I said, "Do you have an account that's promoting your movie?" No. So, of course, you know,
there are a lot of phonies out there. Always double check. And he liked my diligence. Yeah, right. Sure you did. Moron.
Yeah.
And so you report people all the time on Twitter. So how long does it usually take for them to, you know, suspend this guy?
I don't know. I never remember when I report versus when they come back and say, you know.
Yeah, I'm curious to know about that because I think it takes a while. Anyway, just know that Al not with an L, but with an uppercase I. Franken One is a troll. And the name is Al Franken Fans, and he's a troll. So block him.
Yes, and report. Yeah. Always report when you
always
block.
Report. Always report. All right. On that note, we're out of time, and I want to tell you who's coming on tomorrow, because our friend Sandy Scholes, who is always in the chat room as Environmental Coffee House, is coming on. She does, as the name would suggest, a climate type environmental show on YouTube. It's got quite the following, and I gave her an assignment, because with Joe Biden signing all those climate executive orders, she's going to tell us what exactly is going on that front tomorrow. All right. On that note, we're done. I'm late. See ya. Find Laffy on Twitter. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Who is always